So we're holding on Mem-Dalet on the bays, get past the middle of the Amud, the line against Afilu. We learned in the Mishnah and also in a Braisa yesterday, we had two opinions on the subject of the Korbanos of the Chatoris Apnimius, the five types of Chatos where the blood is sprinkled in the Heichel. We had the Tanakama saying that Pigul applies to those just as much as it does to other Korbanos. We had Reb Shimon saying Pigul doesn't apply to them at all because he says that a Korban to be subject to Pigul has to be similar to a Shlomim where the blood of it is sprinkled on the Mizbech HaChitzen. Now we're going to have a third opinion on the subject. Tanya, we learn a Braisa, as the line begins after you. Tanya, Rabbi Loza, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Yosi, Haglili. I should have about to take that the word Haglili. Pigul, the Dabra Hanak, because he says that it's in the name of Rabbi Yosi, plain, not Rabbi Yosi, Haglili. Also on the side of here, it brings based on Tosfos and a few other places, that's apparently it's Rabbi Yosi, with not Haglili. Rabbi Yosi, Haglili is Rabbi Yosi, Haglili. Regular Rabbi Yosi, without that, is Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chalaita. Okay, whatever. Anyway. He says like this, Pigul b'davar hanasa b'chorot, Pigul. When it comes to the chatois apnimiyik, the ones where the blood is sprinkled inside the azar, inside the hechel. Now you have, some of their avodas do take place in the azar. The parim of Yom Kippur, the power of Yom Kippur, and the third of Yom Kippur, for example, they're shechted in the azar. But then the blood is brought into the hechel and it's sprinkled over there. So if you create Pigul, if you have a sort of chutzos manoi, the Dover Anasa Bachos regarding the part of the Avoda that takes place outside the Hechel, Pigul, then that is about, then that does become Pigul.
Which one has a dual Avoda Bachos in between?
Both. All five of them. All five of the Chatois are Pnimis. Because none of them are shechted in the Hechel. All of them are shechted outside of the Azara. Then the blood is brought into the Hechel and sprinkled over there.
Shechita is
one of the four Avodas, sure. And eventually you have the Shvichas Shiraim. Eventually you have the Shiraim afford on the Yisod, which is also done by Chutz, which also, okay, the Shiraim are not ma'akev according to many opinions, but nevertheless, though, there's still a portion of the Avodah about which it's possible to have a Machshavas Pigul. So he says, therefore, if he has a thought of Chutz's Manu regarding during the Avodah that takes place by Chutz, Pigul, then he has created Pigul. On the other hand, the Dover Hanasa Bifnim, but if you had it in mind regarding the part that takes place Bifnim, regarding the part that takes place in the Heichol or in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Loi Pigul, then he that's not. Rav Shimon had said that Pigul doesn't apply to these Korbanos at all, even during the Shvita. Right. He's saying that it does apply, but only to that limited extent. Ketan, what does it mean? Hoya Omer Bachos, if the Kohen is standing outside in the Azara, V'omar, and he says, Hareini Shochet Lahazus Midama L'Mofer, if he says, I'm shechting this Korban, which takes place in the Azara, having in mind that I am going to sprinkle the blood of it tomorrow, where the sprinkling takes place in the Hechel, Loi Pigul, he has not thereby made the Korban Pigul, Shemachshava Bachos, V'Dover, Anas V'Fnim, Loi Pigul, because there you have a Machshava, outside about something that's being done inside, and that is not enough, that doesn't make it Pigul. What about Hoya Omer Bifnim? What about he's standing inside the Heichel or inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? V'Omer, and he says, Hareini Maza Amanas Lahachtu Emurim V'Lishvich Shiraim Amacher. He says, I'm sprinkling now in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or in the Heichel, having in mind that I'm going to pour out the Shiraim or I'm going to burn the Emurim tomorrow. Loy Pigul, then again it's not Pigul, Shemachshava Vifnim, B'davar Anasa B'chutz, because then you have the other way around. Then you have a Machshava inside about something that's taking place outside, because the Shirayim and the Chelev, the Emurim, take place outside. Aval Hoya Omer B'chutz, but, says Rabbi Lazar, that if he's standing outside in the Azara of Omar, and he says, Hareini Shochet Lishbech Shirayim Amacher, I am shefting, having in mind that I'm going to pour out the Shirayim on the base of the Mizbeach tomorrow, where there both the Avodah he's doing right now and the Avodah about which he's thinking both take place outside in the Azara. Oy Lahakhtu Emurim Amacher, or that he says, I'm doing the Shita now, having in mind that I'm going to burn the Emurim tomorrow. Then Pigul. Then that creates Pigul. Shemachshava b'chutz, b'davar anasa b'chutz, because then you have both the machshava and the thing about which he's thinking, both the avoda that he's doing now and the avoda that he's thinking to do tomorrow, are both things that take place b'chutz, outside the heichel, in the azara, and therefore that can make pigul. Now again, Reb Shimon would disagree with that. Reb Shimon would say that pigul doesn't apply to these korbanos at all. The other Chachamim would also disagree in the other way. They would say that you could be mefagol even inside on the Dvarim HaNasim Bachos, that we learned before when we had the sugya before about, for example, him having a thought of pigle during the first stage of the zrikas in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the second zrikas and so forth, that would be primarily according to Chachamim.
What do we need to start checking? Isn't that
obvious? It's not so obvious. Because that's the point. When it's machshava b'chutz and davar anasa b'fnim, or b'fnim b'davar anasa b'chutz, right. When is it pigul? When it's b'chutz and b'chutz?
It seems to be obvious.
Not necessarily. You would have thought, like Rav Shimon, once you don't have it, it doesn't apply to the ones b'fnim. Maybe it doesn't apply to the ones b'chutz.
He's clarifying.
He's telling us you have these three cases. I'm giving you examples of each of the three cases. Amr Rabbi Shurban Levi Maikra, Rabbi Shurban Levi says, what's the pasuk from which Rabbi Lazar learns his din? Like this. In connection with the power of, with the power of Kohen Mashiach, the power that Kohen Gadol brings when he made a mistake in halacha and then father. So the pasuk he scribes over there, that he goes and sprinkles the blood in the heichel, afterwards it says he takes all the chalev and it lists out each of the pieces of chalev, each of the emurim that he takes and burns on the mizeach. And then the pasuk summarizes it as kasha yuram mishur zevah hashlom. Just as it's taken off from a bull that's offered as a shlomim, exactly those same kinds of emurim are brought from the Torah. So you have to ask, v'chimala madna mishur zevah hashlomim me'atha. After all, what are we really learning from the shlomim? That pasuk is extra. Because the pasuk already listed over here all the emurim. The pasuk kasha yuram is extra. It already listed everything. It already listed achelav asher alakerev, achelav machaseh alakerev, achelav asher alakerev, shtei achoyev, shtei zakavet, etc. It listed all the parts. So what is it adding by saying kasha yuram l'shor zevach hashlamim? Ela makish par kori mashiach l'shor zevach hashlamim. What it means is that, now, Tosfos points out that later on, and we had before in Sugyas, and we're going to have later on in Ezra Makoimon, that we actually have a different limud, that a different mandama learns from this pasuk, a different limud we learned before, about this concept of a pariyam and kapurim has to have these parts first. But the Tana of this Brisa over here is learning that from someplace else. So therefore he has this pasuk Kashi Yuram available for a different drasha. So he says like this. It means the Torah, therefore, is making a hekesh between the power of Kohen Mashiach and a shur that is brought for a shlomim. Namely, ma shur zevach hashlomim ad shiyu maisev v'machshavoisev v'mezechah. Just as with a shlomim, it has to be that the action during which he has the thought of chutzut ma'ay and the machshava, the thought of what he plans to do, chutzut ma'ay, is both on the Mizbech HaChitzin, are both things that take place on the Mizbech HaChitzin, because the Shlomim, everything takes place on the Mizbech HaChitzin, nothing of it is brought into the Heichel. As Parakoyim Mashiach, the same way, the Parakoyim Mashiach, which is one of the five Chatzorot HaPnimiyot, same thing, Adshiyu Machshavosav HaMaisav 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 HaChitzin, it's the same thing. In order for it to be Pigul, you have to have that the Machshava and the Maisa, that the actual action that he's doing now, during which he has the Machshava, and the Maisa that he intends to do, the Maisa that he's doing now, and that he's thinking about doing later, all has to be HaMaisav HaChitzin. That is where Rabbi Lazar gets this concept, therefore, that if he's thinking in the Heichal about things that he's going to do HaMaisav HaChitzin, or vice versa, then it's not Pigul.
It's a
Hekesh. Amr of Nachman, Amr Rabba, Vo, Amr Rab, Halacha, Kribal, Laza, Shomer, Rav Shimon, Yaisi. The Halacha is actually like that. So not like the Chachamim of our Mishnah, not like Rav Shimon, but rather like Rav Lazar in the name of Rav Yaisi. That pigul does apply to these karbonis, but only things that are being done, only when he has it, only when the Ma'at, Machshava, and the Ma'aseh are both regarding things that take place in the Azara, right? In the same place. I mean, practically speaking, there's nothing else that you can say in the Heichel, because in the Heichel, all you have taking place is the various parts of the one avodah of Hazar. And we said before, you need an entire avodah to be done with a thought of pigul. And it can't be that he's doing the Hazar, having in mind that Hazar is going to be taking place tomorrow, because he's doing it right now. So of necessity, it has to be that the Machshava and the Ma'aseh are taking place in, well, in any case, I mean, he's learning from Zevach HaShlomim, which all takes place Bachot. So that's what it is. It all has to be Bachot. Okay. Now, so Rav Nachman is saying that the Halacha is like Rav Elazar, Rav Yosef, which Amar Rava, or Rav Yosef, it says on the side over here, so Rava or Rav Yosef asks on that, why are we passing Halacha on that? Hilchos of the Meshicha. Are you passing a halacha that's only going to be relevant when Mashiach comes?
You don't do that.
Not you're not allowed, but why? Why are you bothering? Why are you bothering? Well, because why should you? Wait. Hold on. Let's learn the Gemara, and then we'll talk about what choice is. Omalei Abayas, Abayas says, in Elamayasa, so by your logic, Kol Shchidus Kodshim Leilitni, what are you going to say? We shouldn't learn Zvachim at all, the whole Masech is Zvachim at all, you're going to argue with all halachas that are only relevant in the Maitre Mashiach, Ela Zerosh Ketabal Tzchar. The obvious answer is that no, we're supposed to darshan it, we're supposed to learn it, and we receive a reward from Hashem, because it's part of learning Torah. So the same thing over here. Yes, we're saying it's the halacha. What we mean is Jewish for Kabbal Sky. We should darish in and figure out what the halacha is like in the Kabbal Sky. Wait. Okay. However, Rava or Rav Yosef says, fine. But fine. I agree with your premise. Of course, you have to learn the dinim of Karbanis. But what I'm saying is, yes, but why are we actually tasking halacha about it? So Jewish for Kabbal Sky means you have to delve into the Torah, you have to understand the things, but to say the halacha is such and such means, practically speaking, this is what we should be doing. Why are we passing in halacha that we should be doing when we're not doing it now until Mashiach? Lishnachrina Amalei, or another version he tells him, halacha kamina. What I'm saying is it amounts to the same thing. Halacha is Aramaic, halacha is Hebrew, but either way, I'm saying, why are we saying explicitly what the halacha is when it's only relevantly Moshe Mashiach? Now, Tosfos brings up the point that you have many places in Shas where the Gemara passes in halacha that on the face of it is only going to be relevantly Moshe Mashiach. So first of all, Tosfos, brings an example from Kiddushin, that you have an opinion of Rabbi Yossi over there, Asidin Mamzerim Litar, that in the future when Mashiach comes, Mamzerim will be declared Tar. That's a halacha of Mashiach. That's a halacha that's only relevant when Mashiach comes. However, Tosfos says, fine, but you can argue that at least has... Yeah, we'll talk about that. We learned in Kiddushin then. It means that people who were assumed to be Mamzerim are Sophic Mamzerim, whatever. The point is, Tosfos says, that's fine. The actual statement over there is something lost of love. However, it has a relevance nowadays also, because if you have a family on which there's a Sophic, don't necessarily exclude them, because after all, since you're saying Asidin Mamzerim Litar, then therefore there's a certain relevance to that halacha. Even now, realize that they're not completely beyond the pale.
But we're not talking about
Sophic.
No,
Asidin Mamzerim Litar means, in other words, we're talking about Sophic Mamzerim. But the point is, in other words, that halacha, which is Asidin Mamzerim Litar, has a relevance nowadays also. Tosfos brings other examples also. You have a fact in, you know, the Gemara Paskin Halacha in Yuma, like Rabbi Yossi, about the case where you have where we learned about in Hodias as well, where you have one Kohen Gadol had to leave office temporarily because of a mum or tumor or what have you, and a second one substitutes for him. What happens when the first one resumes office? Okay, but that has a nafkamina also. For example, nowadays you can have a similar kind of thing. Let's say Rosh Hashiva. Same idea. Let's say you're a Rosh Hashiva, a Karnas or whatever, who had to temporarily leave office and now returns to office. Sometimes this goes through a number of examples like that, where we have the Gemara in a number of places passed in Halacha that's relevant only when Moshe Mashiach, and doesn't ask this question, Hilchos Mashiach.
Why did the Gemara include this question?
Because we still have to know. But also, furthermore, Tosfos also goes on to say that another possibility is Rav Yosef maybe is the only one who's concerned about that. We find in Sanhedrin, him asking this question. We don't find anybody else. But okay, Rav Yosef is Lashitasa, he holds. His shitta is, there's no reason ever to pass in halacha, that's only relevant to Moshe Mashiach. The other Amoraim don't necessarily agree with that. And then Tosfos brings a third thing from Rabbeinu Chaim, who says that, when do we ask Hilchos Mashiach like this? And they have a similar question in Sanhedrin, when the halacha is based on something, is based on a situation where an issur was done in the first place. When we're talking about the normal standard operating procedure of things, or like cases over there where the Kohen Gadol is temporarily disqualified and resumes office, or different other cases involving the normal procedures of doing karban, that's fine. It's reasonable to pass in halacha, because we need to know before Mashiach comes what the halacha is going to be. But when you have something like this, for example, where we're talking about, let's say, we're talking about a person having a thought of chutzlus mane, which is also to do in the first place, then, says Rabbeinu Chaim, it's reasonable to ask, Hilchos Mashiach, why are we bothering to pass in halacha of something that the chutzlus shouldn't even be done in the first place? It's only if somebody did something wrong, So A, it's something that somebody is doing something wrong, and B, it's only relevant in Moshe Mashiach. That's the Gemara is asking about why are we practicing it. So you have three different approaches, again. One is that we ask it whenever it doesn't seem to have any nakumina for halacha nowadays. Two is it's only Rav Yosef is concerned about this question. And three is we're asking only when the question itself only comes about because somebody did a dvar
issur. On the other hand, when the Mashiach comes, it's still important to have the previously recorded opinion.
To have the opinions, there's no question about that. But Rav Yosef is asking, why do we, the Amoraim, need to pass in halacha on it? We'll learn the opinions, we learn the Rabbanan, we learn Rav Shimon, we learn Rav Elazar, and leave it up in the air who the halacha is like. That's what he's asking. Why do we need to pass in halacha?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it could still help him when Mashiach comes to...
Yeah, but on the other hand, when Mashiach comes, you're going to have Mashiach himself can pass him, the Sanhedrin can pass him, so whatever. Those are the three approaches.
Let me ask you a question. If the halacha was set up by the Gemara at the time of the Amoraim,
yeah,
can Mashiach change that halacha?
No reason he can't. Sure, the Sanhedrin, the apostasy could. The Sanhedrin of that time can sit and think it over and then decide that they want to follow the Muhammad's opinion or they want to follow Rav Shimon's opinion, sure. Yeah. All right.
That's your first time.
The Rambam says flat out that if a Beis Din of one generation came up with a psak halacha based on learning with one of the Yud Gimel Midas Ratzon of Yeshus Behen or something, and a late, so we're not talking about a Gator or a Takana or something, we're talking about where they learn that the Din Dar Isis should be in such and such a way, and a later Beis Din, even if that later Beis Din is not as great as them B'chachmo Dominion, decides that they learn differently, then they're entitled to overturn the opinion of the previous Beis Din. So here it's like that also. So what are we saying? Rav Shimon is learning it from the Hekish over here between Shlomim and Paukar and Mashiach. So the Beis Din of Mashiach times is entitled to say that we learn differently. We don't learn based on that Hekish. We learn from some other source. Yeah.
It's a big thing.
Yeah. But that's how it is.
Okay. Some people say different
things. No, anybody says different. All right. So the Mishnah says, Kotche Ojik Echavim, Kodshim that are offered by Goyim. Now what we mean is, in other words, so a Goy volunteered to bring a korban. We learn elsewhere in Shas, I think we have it later on in Amstetzer, or maybe it's in Menachos or whatever, that Goyim are able to donate Nidorim or Nidoris. They're able to offer, they're able to bring korbanos to the Beis Hamikdash of the type that we Jews are able to bring Beneder and Nidorim, namely basically an Olo or Shlomim. I think we actually have a machlokes towards the end of our Masechta whether they're able to bring shlamim, but the halacha is that they're able to bring olo or shlamim. So here you have kodshim that were donated by goyim. Ein chayavin aleihem mishum pigul noiser v'tomei. A person is not chayav for eating pigul or noiser or tomei from them, as we'll see in the Gemara. But in other words, they can become pigul. But if a person eats from them, he's not chayav karet. Similar to the other.
Jews can eat from
So for example, you have a goy with menadev a shlomim, let's say. So you're going to have, parts are burnt on the mezbeach as usual, parts are given to the kohenim, the rest is eaten by any Jews. The pashtos, I guess, since the goy himself isn't eating from it, I guess the pashtos, any Jews, can eat from it. I don't know. Well,
the goy
can eat from it, carbonus.
He can offer them, but he cannot eat them.
Right. What we're talking about is that he brought korbanos, as in he sent them to our Beis Hamikdash to be offered. If he brings them on a bama of his own elsewhere in the world, as we'll learn later on in the chapter, that's all different. That's all different. But he was talking about korbanos that he brings to our Beis
Hamikdash.
He sent. Whatever. That's what I mean. Yeah. Of course. And we're going to see in the Gemara also. We're going to see a distinction between kodshim mizbeach and kodshim bedik habayis. But wait, yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point is that, yes, so now, for example, a shlomim, it still has the usual rules, can be eaten the shnei yamim v'layla efod, so eventually it becomes noiser. If a person, if a yid, were to eat from that noiser, though, on the shnei say, he wouldn't be chayav karet.
He would?
He wouldn't be chayav karet. V'ashoichten b'chutz poter, and also if somebody shechts these korbanos outside the azara, then he's also poter from karet. Divir Rav Shimon, Rav Yosi mechayav, Rav Yosi says he's chayav. So now, is Rav Yosi being machayev on all of them? Is he saying that you are chayev, that person is chayev karet for pigul, noser, or tomei, or shoftim, lachos? or is he only arguing on the Shos and Bechol? So that's different Mepharshim have different ways of learning. The Rambam Paskins only that have Shos and Bechol's Pasuk. Paskins that your Pasuk, Pigol, Noiser, or Tomei, but you have Shos and Bechol, which means apparently that either he holds the halacha is, like, either he holds that the halacha in that the halacha in one aspect is like the Shimon and the other like the Yisi, or he holds the first part is a Stam Mishnah, that Pigul Noiser and Tomei, and the Shos and Bechutz is the only point of argument between Rav Shimon and Rav Yossi, and therefore he passed them like Rav Yossi.
So he agrees.
So he agrees to that. So he would say that, yeah. Okay. Turn it up on him. We learn in the Gemara. The Gemara starts off. Turn it up on him. We learn in a Baisa. Kodshe Ot Kachavim Leinenin V'Lein Mayalin. Kodshim that are offered to the Beis HaMikdash by Goyim. Leinenin V'Lein Mayalin. You're not allowed to have Hanah from them. However, Me'ilah does not apply to them. And whenever we say that concept, Leinenin V'Lein Mayalin, throughout Shas, it always means that it's also midrabanan. Midraraita, in other words, Me'ilah doesn't apply to it. Midrabanan, though, you're still not allowed to use it. So you're still not allowed to misuse it. The ein chayavan aleihem shom pigul noiser v'chamei. And as our Mishnah said, a person is not chayav kores for eating them if they're pigul or if they're noiser or if the meat became chamei. The ein oisin smura, another din that we're going to go through soon. The Gemara is going to go through soon how we know that these dinim do not apply to kodshei goyim. The ain oisin smura, they cannot create a smura. So if somebody were to take the animal that the goy sent and say, I'm exchanging it for this other animal, the other animal doesn't work, the other animal. What? That means you're not allowed to have hanah from it. But if a person did have hanah from it, he's not chayav from me'ilah. He's not chayav malchus from mezid or a korban me'ilah b'shoyim.
You cannot sell them, but...
No, it's not even selling. But for example, Lenanin, for example, would be, let's say, Lenanin could include, for example, let's say, if he rides on the animal, let's say, or if he uses it for work, or for that matter, it could, the pastures could mean also, I mean, it could mean, for example, let's say, again, it was a shlomim. Me'ilah applies to the emurim of a shlomim until they're burnt on the mizbeach. So the same thing. In other words, you're not allowed to have anah from those emurim, but if you did, then you haven't committed me'ilah. Yeah. The ein oisin smura, so they don't create a smura. The ein mevi'in nisachim, also they do not bring nisachim. Now Rashi learns from that what Rashi learns that ein mevi'in nisachim means that, like this we learned previously, that a yid is able to offer nesachim on their own without an accompanying korban. A person can say, for example, I want to bring a korban of wine on the mizbeach, only wine by itself, and that works. So, according to Rashi, what the Braita means over here is that goyim are not able to do that. They're able to bring an oil or a shlomim, but not nesachim avoyim with me'atzman. So Rashi apparently would learn that if they send an Olo or a Shlomim, then they can send the Nesachim with it, just like or they can send money for Nesachim, as the case may be. There's actually a Mishnah in Shkalim that says that the Beis Din at one point made a takana that if a Goy sends his korban from Medinas Hayam and he didn't send along with it material or money for Nesachim, then the Nesachim are craving Mishal Tzibur. Then they take money from the Machta Shekel collection or whatever, and use that to buy Nesachim to go with it. Because Nesachim are supposed to be brought with it.
Nesachim includes?
The flour, the wine, and the oil. Let's go with it on the Mizbeach.
So they can't offer their own wine?
But not necessarily their own wine. Of course not. It would be Yainessa. But the point is, either if he sent along kosher wine, either if he sent along like a sealed barrel of kosher wine, or the Pashtus maybe not even, because there might be a problem of Truma. No, the Pashtus, what we mean is he sent along money for the Nesachim cost, the Nesachim cost, let's say, $50. So he sent along with the Korban, he sent along $50 for Nesachim. So if he did, good. If not, then it comes Michel Sig. The Rambam actually seems to contradict himself in two places, because in one place he seems to imply that Goyim can bring the stuff in, but in another place he implies that they can't. So the Nosa Kalim on the Rambam deal with that. One of the answers is that in the first place, the Rambam doesn't mean that Goyim can bring it, he means that Jews can bring it. According to the Rambam might learn all Gemara to say that Ein Mevi'in Nesachim means Goyim are not allowed to bring the stuff in. We don't allow them to bring the Nesachim with their korban.
Okay.
No, so in other words, so again, if a goy sends his korban to Medina Sayyam, and there was no money, so he doesn't send money for Nesachim with it, instead it comes to Shaltin.
But can a Jew bring the Nesachim on behalf of a goy?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Okay. Well, that's what we're saying over here. But in Medina Nesachim, our korban and Tol Nesachim, Divir Reb Shimon. But Reb Shimon says, their korban does require Nesachim. So again, according to Rashi, it would mean, according to Rashi, and maybe according to the Rambam, it would mean that their korban does require an asakim, and therefore if they send money from the asakim, good, and if not, then we bring it mishal tzibur. And according to the other way of understanding the Rambam, it might mean that their korban does require an asakim, however they themselves are not allowed to send it. We, the tzibur, or maybe like you say, some individual yid has to bring it on their behalf. Okay. Rabbi Yossi says, no, in all these things that you're telling me about, about Mlonen and Mlon Moylin and Pigul, Moso and Tomei, etc., by all of them, it's my opinion is that we need to be machmer on them, that they're like kodshim that are offered by Jews. Shenem Behem Lashem, because after all, by Goyim Kobonet, it also says that they're offered Lashem. The pasuk says ish mi beis Yisrael, and ish means that goyim also can offer korbanos. Ish means any person, both a yid or a goy, and all of the and the pasuk continues over there that the korbanos are offered l'Hashem. So therefore, therefore goyim's korbanos should have the same status as Jews' korbanos, because it says ish.
The ish doesn't
apply to a goy. Says who? Where do you get that from? Ish for fair to struggle apply to a goy. Odom, say Atom Kurim, Odom. Yeah, but we're talking about Ish. Yeah. Bamed Varam Amurim continues the Mishnah. When is this talking about? The Kodshim is Beach. This applies to Kodshim that are offered to the Mizbeach, to be offered on the Mizbeach. Out of the Kodshim. Bedek Abayis, but if it's Kodshim, that the goy was, that the goy donated to Bedek Abayis to be used for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash, Molin Behen, then Me'ila does apply to them. Rashi understands that this last line over here, Bamed Varam Amurim, is referring back to the Tanakhama, the Meshivim. When he said, Loinen, Loin Molin, he means only if it's Kodshim is Be'ach, as opposed to Kodshim Bedek Abayis. Tosfos talked about that, not necessarily, it may be a continuation of what Rabbi Yosi is saying. That I say, that we should be machmer on them by kodesh mizbeach, but if they're kodesh bedek abayis, then not necessarily moil and behen, then we would say that in moil and behen that we live with that meila wouldn't apply to them in the same way. Fine. Now let's go through the braise and analyze it. Loinen and v'loin moilin. When we said that korbanos of goyim is loinen and v'loin moilin. So, what does that mean? Well, nen in midrabbanan, it means midrabbanan and allah pass and from them. Below Merlin, but me'ilah does not apply to them on a daraisa level. So no korban me'ilah, if a person did do it for shahid. And the reason is, the gom me'ilah, chet mitruma. Because we learn the concept of me'ilah, that a person has to bring a korban for it. We learn by exeda shava, or not that he has to bring a korban, but we learn certain genim of me'ilah, by exeda shava from the word chet, that says by me'ilah, and that says by truma. By truma only applies to Jews because a goy separating out truma doesn't mean anything. Therefore, according to that way of looking at it, me'ilah also only applies to korbanos of a yid and not korbanos of a goy.
We extend it from truma to
yeah, that's how the Zerushava works. Truma bnei Yisrael v'lo evdik akavim, and we know that because truma, the Torah says that the truma applies only to bnei Yisrael, but yinozrim mikotshe bnei Yisrael, so that doesn't apply to goyim. So therefore, according to that, me'ilah doesn't apply to goyim's korbanos either. We said in the braisa ve'en chayovin olam shom pigul noisav atomei. We said that a person is not chayav for eating from a goy's korban that became pigul, or that became noser, or became tummy. My time, and now why is that? The osi pigul, oven me noser, because again, we learn certain genim of pigul by exeda shava from the word oven, from noser. But osi noser chilo chilo mituma. Noser, in turn, we learn by another exeda shava from the word chilo, from tuma, from that a person is not allowed to eat. That a person is not allowed to eat korbanos when they're tomei or when the meat is tomei, or the tuma ksiv bnei Yisrael v'lo evdik akavim. Again, by tuma that you're not allowed to eat korbanos when you're tomei or when the meat is tomei. The pasuk says over there again bnei Yisrael. By tuma the pasuk was v'lo yichalu with kodesh bnei Yisrael. By tuma the pasuk is the pasuk is v'inozrim kodesh bnei Yisrael. Whatever. In both pesukim it says bnei Yisrael, but therefore again it means only Jews bnei Yisrael v'lo over kachon. So only Jews, not goyim, and therefore the concept of pigul and noser and tomei that a person is chayav koris for doesn't apply to any of these three things because they only apply to korbanos of Jews. Here you have, by the way, another example where you have the double Gzeira Shava, where you learn one thing with Gzeira Shava, and then you learn from that something else by Gzeira Shava, which again, when we get to the next parak, we're gonna say that that's a general rule. You are able, b'chol atarta kula, even in Kodshim, you are able to learn something from Gzeira Shava and then turn around and learn something else from that Gzeira Shava.
But for
the
time being,
no, not for the time being, not. No, that's what we're saying over here. You can't. We're going to talk about you can't learn, if you learn something with a hekish, you can't learn when kodshim, and you can't learn something else from it with a hekish.
Two gzeira shavas, one
after the other, you can do. But two hekishim, you can't.
Why?
We'll see when we get there. Okay. Next, the b'raisa had said that kodshim of goyim are not able to make a tmura. Again, if you exchange it for another animal, the second animal doesn't get any kedusha. My timer. The itkash tmura l'maisa b'shima, because you have again, you have a kashim like this. You have a hekish between tmura. You have a hekish between tmura and maisa b'shima. You have a hekish between tmura and maisa b'shima. Namely that the pasuk says by maisa v'hoyahu tmura, so that a person could conceivably take their maisa and make a tmura of it. And they're not allowed to do that. The pasuk described that after a person took maaser from an animal, v'hoyahu tmurasi yekodesh, if he exchanges it for another animal, then that second animal becomes kodesh as well as the first animal. So we see there's a hekesh between maaser and tmura, between maaser behema and tmura, and u'maaser dogon, and u'maaser behema itkesh l'maaser dogon. In turn, we also have a hekesh between maaser behema and maaser dogon, namely, you have the pasuk after ta'aser, which means two types of maaser of animals and maaser of dogon. And over maaser dogon, when it comes to maaser of grain, the pasuk says that only Jews take it, implying not goyim. So therefore, the whole concept of maaser behema doesn't apply to goyim, therefore neither does the concept of tmura. So the question now becomes, since when do you have that you learn something with a hekish and then you can turn around and learn something else from it with a hekish? If you're saying that we're making a hekish between Maisa Dogon, about which it says Bnei Yisrael, and applying that to Maisa Behema, how can you then go and learn from Maisa Behema to Smura, which would be a second hekish? The answer is Maisa Dogon Cholam. Okay, but Where are you starting the chain of
hekeshim? You would need three hekeshim.
No, not three hekeshim. It means you couldn't do it. It means once you learn Maisa Behema from Maisa Dogon, you can't make then a hekesh from Maisa Behema to anything else. So you can't make a hekesh from Maisa Behema to tomorrow.
On the basis of
that we're going to say in the next parak. Those are the rules. The one dava alama behekesh when it comes to kodshim is einech chozer malama behekesh. We'll see it there in the Gemara, the reason why, in the next parak. The answer is Maisa Dogon Cholin. Okay, the answer is, okay, but Maisa Dogon is not kodshim. Maisa of grain is Cholin. Usually you can learn something from a hekish and learn something else from that with a hekish. It's only by kodshim you can't. So Maisa Dogon is not kodshim, so it's not wrong.
And when it's spoke.
What?
When part of the hekish is...
That's the question. Hanicha l'manda oma bosom l'lamad. Fine. That works out according to the opinion that says that we go according to the one that we're learning from. That the original item in the chain over here is cholin, because maisa dogam, which is not kodshim, it's relatively speaking cholin, then fine, then that works. El lamanda amabasa lomeda slingam. But according to the opinion that we don't look at the thing that you're learning from, we look at the middle item in the chain, and that already is maisa behema, which is kodshim, then maiflamema, then what are you going to say? You can't do a hekish from a hekish. No, so the answer is the reason why kodshim of goyim are not able to make a smora. Ela maisa behema chovashen kavul as mahu. It's like this. Maisa behema is something which a yid is obligated to do, and it's not something which has a fixed time for it. There's no particular time during the year when you do maisa behema. Practically speaking, okay, you have the newborn animals are born a certain time during the year, and you have a concept of grunis for maisa behema, and you have this
you
certain
have to do it before the end of the year.
No, well, in principle, yeah, you have to do it sometime during the year, but there's no particular fixed time during the year when it has to be done. And when it comes to something which is a korban which you're obligated to bring, but has no fixed time, Yisrael Maisu, Ovi Kachavim, why Maisu? Only Jews bring those, Goyim do not. Because the whole concept that we have, that Goyim can offer korbanos, is only, the Pasuk says, Ish Yish Mibes Yisrael, that they bring the korbanos, L'chol Nidrehem, or L'chol Nidvoysam, any of their Nidorim, or any of their Nidavos. And this is not a neder and a dava, because Maisu Behema is not something that you voluntarily bring, it's something that Torah obligates you to bring. So actually, Rashi says, the Gemara didn't really need to mention the question of whether it has a zman or not. Because, I mean, you have korbanos that you're obligated to bring that have a fixed time. For example, the ones that you bring on the Yom Tov, Erlos Miya, Shaman Hagiga, Goyim can't bring those either. The reason why the Gemara mentioned the point about zman is because, like this, for example, Goyim can offer Erlos. They just can't offer an Erlos Re'ia. They can offer a Shlomim. They just can't offer a Shaman Hagiga. But when it comes to Bechor, or Meiser, well, not Bechor, when it comes to Meiser, or Chatas, or Osham, those they can never do. So therefore, we're mentioning the point about time, not so much to say that we're not focusing so much on the time angle, we're focusing more on things that they're obligated, things that a Yid is obligated to bring, versus things that he can bring voluntarily. An Ola, when it doesn't have a fixed time, he can bring voluntarily any time during the year he wants. A shlomim, when it doesn't have any fixed time, he can bring any time. Therefore, a guy can bring an oil or a shlomim.
Because a yid
can bring them any time during the year that he wants. But an oil that a yid can only bring a certain time during the year, such as the ones of Yom Tov, and a shlomim, same thing, those a guy cannot bring. And the choivis that have no fixed time, those also a guy can't bring. Choivis that have no fixed time, for example, a hafas or an oshim. So therefore, so that's that then. So we don't need a hekish in order to teach us that Maisa Dogon does not apply, that Maisa Behema rather doesn't apply to Goyim. We learn it just from the fact that it's not Nidorim and Adavit. Once we have that, then we can use the hekish between Maisa Behema and Tmura to say that Tmura doesn't apply to their Korbanos. Okay. Then we said the Ein Mavi in Nisachim. We said in the Braisa that Goyim do not bring Nisachim. Again, according to Rashi, that they're not required to, and according to the Rambam, maybe that they're not able to. Turn it up on them, so we learn in a brayza. Now, the Pasuk, when the Pasuk talks about the concept of Nesachim that come with a korban, the whole thing is described in Parashas Shlach, and the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says like this, Kol ha'ezrach yasa kocha, all ezrach should do like this. So what does that mean? The word ezra, let's focus on the word ezra. Literally, ezra, in modern Hebrew, they use the word ezra to mean a citizen. In Torah terminology, an Ezra means a native-born Yid. So, in other words, the Pasuk goes on to say that the same thing applies to a Ger, because the Pasuk says, Kager ka Ezra, the same rules that apply to an Ezra apply to a Ger. But yeah, the word Ezra in and of itself means a native-born Jew. Yeah. So, when the Pasuk says Ezra, means Ezrach may be Nesachim, means that an Ezrach, a Yid, is able to bring Nesachim that come by themselves. The Ein Ovid Kachavim may be Nesachim. A Goy cannot bring Nesachim. Again, according to Rashi, only one by themselves he can't bring, but he could bring one for this Korban. According to one way of understanding the Rambam, it means that he can't bring them at all, even with the Korban. Yachol, like, hey, I lost the children Nesachim. However, then you would think in that case, that means a Goy Ola should not require Nesachim at all. Maybe Nesachim are only required for an Ola that was given by a Yid. Tamad Lama Kocha. Therefore, the Pasuk says the word Kocha, which means like this. As the Pasuk says, either say, yeah, the Rashi says that we learned something from a couple of Sukkim earlier in that section where it says, Kocha Ye'ofta Lasherha. Another way of understanding is that we learn it from the same kocha that we were just saying. Kol Ezra Yafat Kocha Yafalotihei. You would think that maybe if a goy donates an oil to the Bismikdash, maybe it should not require Nesachim, because you're saying it only applies to Ezra. Talmud Lama Kocha, therefore the Pasuk says Kocha, which means either the Pasuk Kol Ezra Yafat Kocha, then the Kocha in that Pasuk itself is a reward, or it means, Rashi says, it means the Kocha in a different Pasuk over there. Kocha Ye'ofa Lasher Ha'afad. Either way, it means, therefore, the korban of a goy does require Nesachim, but it means the goy cannot be menadev Nesachim by themselves, or, according to the Rambam's way of looking at it, that he can't be menadev Nesachim together with his korban, that the Sibur has to bring it on his behalf, or a Yid, a Yachim. Because that's what we're saying, because it's only Ezra. The whole concept that a yid is able to bring the sochim by themselves without an accompanying korban, we learn from the word Ezra. Well, a goy is not Ezra. Yeah. So that's the thing. So on the one hand, a goy korban does require the sochim. On the other hand, he cannot bring the sochim that come by themselves.
In other words, we're solving an apparent contradiction between
Ezra and Koch.
Ezra would seemingly say only
a yid, but kochal would mean like this, regardless for whether the korban was brought by a yid or a goy, right? Right. So we explain that what it means is only a yid can bring nesachim that have come by themselves, but on the other hand, nesachim are brought through a goy's korban that do have to be brought with a goy's korban, whether it's that the goy is bringing them or whether it's that the yid are bringing them for them, as the case may be.
If the goy cannot bring it themselves.
That's what I'm saying. So according to the way of looking at it, that the goy cannot bring it by himself, it would mean Jews have to bring it for him. The Sibra brings it for him or whatever. According to the way of looking at it, that the goy can offer them, then good. If he offered them, fine. And if not, then it's nai based in that they take Michelle Sibra and bring them. And
we say he cannot.
We're saying that his Ola needs the Nesachim, one way or the other.
Right.
Okay. So he can't offer Nesachim by themselves.
Right.
But he can offer, but Nesachim have to be offered with his partner. Yeah. Okay. Then we said in the Braisa, the Omer of Yosi, Royani B'kulam L'Hachmer, we said that Rabbi Yosi says that I see that we should be Machmer by all of these details, that all these things that apply to Korbanos of Jews should also apply to Korbanos of Goyim. Vamed Varam Umer B'Kodshim is Be'ach. However, he says, when does this apply? By Kodshim is Be'ach, but not to Kodshim Be'ach Habayis. So my timer. Now, why is that? According to Rashi, the question is: if we're saying that according to Rav Shimon, the concept that Me'ilah applies, that Me'ilah does not apply midaraisa to Kodshim of Goyim, only applies to Kodshim of Zeach, but it does apply to Kodshim of Kabayis, then why should it be different? The Braisa is saying, according to Rashi's understanding of it, that when it comes to Kodshe Goyim that are brought on the Mizeah, then Me'ilah doesn't apply to them out of Daraisa. But if they're Kodshe Vedic Abayas, then Me'ilah does apply to them. Why the difference? According to Tosfos, rather the question would be on Rav Yosi. Why is Rav Yosi making the distinction? Okay. My timer. So why is that? Kasavar, it's like ki gomra meila chet mitruma. This that we're saying that we learn meila by Xeda Shava from the word chet involving truma. That means zumia the truma. That means only when we're talking about the type of kedusha that is similar to truma in the sense that kadisha kedusha zakuf, in the sense that it has kedusha zakuf. Truma has kedusha zakuf. It's not just kedusha domim. It's not just the value of the truma has kedusha. The truma itself has intrinsic kedusha. Only a kohen can eat it. It has to be eaten b'tara, etc. Therefore, this concept that we're learning that it has to be like truma, and therefore, since truma is given only by a yid, then therefore me'ila only applies to korbanos given by a yid. That only applies to things that have kedushas and gufim. Alba kedushas bedek habayis, but when it comes to things kedushas bedek habayis, things that are donated for the upkeep of the mishmikdash, the kedushas domim, where they were just not intrinsic kedusha, it only has the value of it has kedusha. Right? Then no, the same rule does not apply. Then we could say that me'ila does apply to it.
So when it has kedushas
tzur, then me'ilah doesn't apply to it on a daraisa level when it came from a goy. But when it has kedushas domim, then it would. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Now we're going to continue on more topics about differences between korbanos of Jews and goy. Tananabana, we learn in a braisa. Damshin nikma, if the blood of a korban became tamei v'zorgoy, and the kohen sprinkled it on a mizbeach esrei. The shogig hurtza, if he did it the shogig, then the korban is still acceptable. The mazid loy hurtza, but if he did it the mazid, then if not hurtza, the korban is not acceptable. Rashi says Rashi says we don't mean loy hurtza on a daraisa level. What we mean is actually on a drabbanon level. We mean on the drabbanon, says Rashi, that the drabbanon made a knas that the korban is not acceptable. Now, we're not going to say that the person should bring another korban, because then you're going to be bringing chul and lazar. But what it means is that the owner has had his kapara because on a daraisa level it worked. However, we're not going to allow the meat of this korban to be eaten. Drabbanon. because the blood of it was brought on the mizbeach mezid when because the blood of it was brought on the mizbeach mezid when it was come. Rashi quotes a Gemara in Yevamos that says. But Medron Amorim. Now, when did so we don't make him bring another korban because the Rabbanon are not able to make a zera that's going to result in you being over on a din d'oraisa. Like this, to bring chulin into the azara is an iser d'oraisa. If they were to say that this korban, which on a d'oraisa level is valid, we're going to say on the Rabbanon level is completely invalid, and you have to bring another one. That would be to be ochre something of the Torah, and the Rabbanon don't have the capability of doing that. All they can do is they can say, don't eat the meat of it, because that's Shev Val Pasta. The Rabbanon have the ability to override a din in the Torah when it's Shev Val Pasta, when they're telling us passively, don't do something.
But they cannot overturn
it. They can't overturn it to say that you have to do something, which is against the Torah, which in this case would be bringing another Torah. Same way, for example, as we say, that the Rabbanon are able to make a Xera, for example, that we don't blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we don't take Lulav when it comes out on Shabbos, or we don't take Lulav when on Sukkot, when it comes out on Shabbos, because that's Shev Val Pasta. They don't have the ability to tell us to be over on something, to be over actively on something d'oraisa, unless maybe when it's involved in imamunus, because hefka based in hefka, that's a different matter. But anyway.
But say for sukkahs, how would they do that to make it over on?
Well, in the case of lulav, it's not. In the case of lulav, you don't have it. I'll pass it on. Don't do the mitzvah on this. But I'm saying, in other cases, where you could have, in a case like this, for example, if they were to say a cardinal castle, they'd be telling you, and bring another one, it means they're telling you to do an action which is over on it, which is a writer, full of my word. Thank you. But Medvar Mamurim, when is this talking about? The distinction between whether the blood was sprinkled, the mazid, or the shaking? The yachid, when you're talking about a korban of a yachid. Out of the sibur, but when it comes to a korban of the sibur, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid hursa, whether it was sprinkled after the blood became tamei, whether it was sprinkled when b'shogeg or b'mezid, either way the korban is accepted. However, over oidik kachavim, but when it comes
to my
kachavim, it's choyer b'sibur, it's choyer b'sibur, as the case may be right. Avol, over oidik kachavim, but when it comes to a korban offered by a goy, bein b'shogeg or bein b'mezid lo hursa. Whether the blood that became tummy was sprinkled, b'shogeg or b'mezid, loy hursa, and the korban has not been made accepted. In the sense, again, that the blood, that the meat of it can't be. Okay. Well, amru rabbanon kamei rapapa. So now that Rabbanon told this discussion over to rapapa, we had a short discussion of this at the beginning of the second paragraph. We discussed over there the issue. What is it that makes the korban that was brought for tumah? What is it that makes it acceptable after all of the tzitz? And the ritzui tzitz does not apply to goyim. The whole concept of ritzui that the tzitz makes the korban acceptable after the fact is because the kohen got all the tzitz. And that applies, the prophet says, well, rotten lahem, it's only for rotten for them, for the Jewish people, meaning not for goyim. Yeah, well, that's what we're going to talk about. Actually, Gemara is going to mention this point also. Okay. So Amru Rabbanon Kamei de Rapapa. So the Rabbanon, the Chachmei HaYeshiva, told this over to Rapapa, and they want to say, command the Loi Rabbi Yosi. Apparently, this bright that we just quoted, that says that goyim korbanot, where the blood became tamei and then was sprinkled, and we say loyhursa, apparently is the loyka Rabbi Yosi. Apparently this guy says not like Rabbi Yosi. The e Rabbi Yosi, ha'amah b'kolan aniroi lahachmer. After all, Rabbi Yosi had said regarding all the things that we mentioned before that we want to be machmer on them, we want to treat them like Jews korbanos, therefore he should say the same thing as far as the blood becoming tamei. Just like it would be hursa if it was a yid's korban, if it was done b'shoyeg, so should it be by a goy. Amalahu rapapa, but rapapa tells them no. I feel the same in Rabbi Yossi. This is a different case. This bright that even Rabbi Yossi might agree with, because Shiny Hossam, the Amakra, is different in the case of Tumah, because after all, what's the basis of saying that the korban should be acceptable after the fact, when the blood became Tumah and was sprinkled? The Amakra, because the prophet says, Lahem, that'll be Hursa, that'll be acceptable, Lahem, for them, for the Jewish people, meaning Lahem, for them, implying, but not for them. So therefore, you have a special mute in the pasuk that says that the concept of ritzui tzitz, that the tzitz making the korban acceptable, does not apply to korbanos of goyim.
And in which sense could it be compatible with Rav Yossi's...
Because Rabbi Yossi would say, by the other things, fine, we don't hold of the occasion that we were saying before with Truma and with whatever. Rabbi Yossi would use those occasions for other purposes, maybe. So therefore, he would say that that since, after all, the Pasuk says that Korbanos of Goyim, just like Korbanos of Jews, are all Lashem. They're all Ish and Beis Yisrael, Asher Yakov Korbanos, Lachon Nedreim, Lachon Nedreim, Asher Yakov Lashem. So therefore, they're all Lashem, and therefore, in that sense, they should all be subject to Pigol and Noso and Tomei and Hila and so on and so forth. Even Rav Yossi might agree, though, that when it comes to this case over here, since the Pasuk says Lahem, then it means only for Jews and not for Goyim. Omele Rav Huna Breder of Nassim or Papa. However, Rav Huna Breder of Nassim asks Rav Papa, Elam Asa, by that logic, if you're going to say that Lahem is excluding Goyim, what about what the Pasuk says in connection with Tuma of Korbanos? The Pasuk says that you're not allowed to eat a Korban, that Korban is not allowed to eat a Korban when he's Tomei. The Pasuk says that Rehem Makdishim, that stay away from the Korbanos, stay away from bringing the Korbanos or from eating the Korbanos when you're Tomei. The Pasuk says that Rehem Makdishim, meaning the Jewish people. So that they those are with Kodshim and Israel, they should stay away from the Kodshim of the Jewish people, Asher Heim Makdishim, that they are being Makdish. You're going to say the same thing, Hokanami Heim Bola Ovis Kodim. You're going to say the same thing, that it means only them and not Goyim. Are you going to say that it means, according to the Yossi, that a person is not chayav for eating Korbanos of Goyim B'Torah? We just said, according to the Yossi, we said that he's master in that. So obviously, just because it says Heim, doesn't mean that would be Mamayat Goyim. So why are you saying that Lodos and Lahem should be Mamayat Goyim?
Well, Hem and Lahem are two different.
No, it's essentially the same thing. It means them or to them, whatever. It's not the other thing. Ella, Omer Rav Ashi, said no. Rav Ashi says no. The reason why Rav Yossi is saying that the concept of Lissui in the case where the blood became Tomei, why he said it doesn't apply to Goyim, is not because of the word Lahem, but because Amakla Lodosim. The reason is because the Pasuk says, how does the sitz work? The rotzen lahem, that it makes the korban acceptable for them. For Ovik HaKorban, Lav B'nei HaRtzon, you know. Rotzen implies that, like, so to speak, like reestablishing the good relationship that you had, being mechaker and reestablishing the good relationship. For Ovik HaKorban, Lav B'nei HaRtzon, you know. Goyim are not within the scope of HaRtzon in the sense. What are we saying? Well, what we mean is, in other words, what does Hatzah mean? Essentially, the concept of Hatzah means being Mechaper. So even though, okay, you have not all Korbanos of Jews are being Mechaper. Some of them, like a Shlomim, are being brought just as a gift to Hashem. But underlying it all is the concept of that a Yid brings Korbanos in order to be Mechaper for his Averus. And then therefore, also, there can be cases where he brings a Korban voluntarily. A Goy does not have that concept of Kapara through Korbanos, because the thing, a Goy can't bring a Chasav or an Asham or what have you. The only Korbanos he can bring is voluntary ones, an Olo or a Shlom. Therefore, the whole concept of Kapara, of Ritzui, doesn't apply to him. He brings a Korban to Hashem, he brings a gift to Hashem, fine, but that's not how it's because it doesn't bring Kapara in the way that a Yitz Korban does for him. Yeah. So therefore, so when the Pasuk says L'rotzen Lahem, it implies, it only applies to the people to whom the concept of rotzen in a korban applies, and that's only Jews, not Goyim. Therefore, the whole concept that the tzitz is able to make this korban acceptable doesn't apply to a korban of a Goy. That is why the Braita says that with a Goy's korban, regardless, then the korban is not going to be acceptable. Again, as Rashi said before, it wouldn't really necessarily mean on the right level it wouldn't be acceptable. You still go ahead and then finish the avodah of it. It just means the Chachamim will make a knas and say we're not going to apply ritzui tzitz in this case, and we're not going to allow the meat of the korban to be.
First of all, again,
chain of mitzvot to Lahem, right?
In a normal case for the
right, well, that's the point is, in other words, this shlomim is not meant for rotzen. The rotzen implies that there's a certain level of kapara, like now you're reestablishing your good relationship from before.
They're not obligated,
but a shlomim is not a kapara, but right, but underlying the whole concept of korbanos is fundamentally the idea of kapara. One of the ideas, you have the famous explanation, for example, that when a person brings a korban, they have in mind that these kinds of things should have been done to them themselves. So even, yes, you have the concept, you can bring a shlomim, you can bring a completely voluntary korban, but underlying it all is still the idea of kapara.
But we are obligated and they're not.
That's the point. Therefore, so...
But the point
is we're not obligated to bring a shlomim either. A shlomim is something normally that you bring voluntarily. So But the Torah says that the Torah uses the word rasa in connection with all karbanos generic. So that, in other words, there's a certain degree of kapara even within that. So we're going more outside the purview of that. It affects that. Yeah, it affects something. Fine, there's no question they get a reward from Hashem for it, but that's not the same thing as rasa.
Rasa
means that not only that he wants it, it means that now, like the person has now, so to speak, reestablished their close relationship with Hashem that they had all along. We Jewish people have a close relationship with Hashem because Bani Matam Hashem and Akeh. The Goyim have a different kind of relationship with Hashem. They're like foreign citizens as opposed to where that's how it is. I mean, the Goyim are not Bani Matam Hashem and Akeh. We are. But they're creations of Hashem, Chaviv Adam Shenivir B'Tzelem, but the Barakur or Chaviv Yisrael, Shenikur Bonim Mamakim, it's a different relationship, that's all. Yeah, whether Yisrael, whether the Oysim Ritzenish Amakim, Enoysim Ritzenish Amakim, fine, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, right. What Yaakov is referring to is the Gemara in Kedushin, where you have Rabbi Yehuda, says that when we say Bonim Asam Hashem Alakechem is only when the Jewish people are doing what Hashem wants. When you don't do what Hashem wants, then we're not called Bonim Amakim, and Rameo disagrees and says either way we're Bonim.
Rameo
says that either way we're Bonim. But the Goyim are not Bonim. The Goyim are, they have their own precious Nifta Hashem, Chobav Adam Shadivir B'Selam, they were created in Selam Alakim, and by all means, let them offer Korbanos, and then eventually develop some kind of knowledge of Hashem, that's how it should be. But nevertheless, their relationship with Hashem is on a different level than ours. It's not a thing of Rasa. You know, putting it in terms of Siddur, also, I mean, Rasa is Keser, is higher than everything else. Rasa is higher than Chokhmah. So you could say, for example, I don't know, you could say that Hashem has like a rational type relationship with a Goy. You know, okay, a Goy works with his brain to understand that there's a God in the world, you know, then good, wonderful. We Jewish people have a supra, a rational relationship with Hashem. That's what we're talking about here with Rasa. Beyond rationality, exactly. Right. And we find also, for example, you know, we learned in Sanhedrin, you know, a goy is not mitzvah al kiddush Hashem. If a goy is being forced to be over on one of his sheva mitzvahs, he's not obligated to go on kiddush Hashem for it. Whereas a yid is. So the yid has to go the ma'ilim tambadas and give up his life for it. A goy is not expected to relate to Hashem on that ma'ilim tambadas, the Rasa. Well, he's expected to relate to Hashem on a rational level. Mishnah says, "Dvarim she'en chayavan aleim shum pigul." Now, as far as the things that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, we have the list of things for which a person is not chayav if they were pigul. For example, we have the kumes and the ktoras and the whole list of things, the minchas koyanim, the dam, etc. All those things that a person is not chayav for them if they were pigul, because we said they themselves are the master, or they have no master, they're their own master, basically. However, a person would be chayav kores if he ate them when he was tomei, or he would wrap them in a chatas if he did it b'shogeg, or, and the same thing if they were noser or if they were tomei, chutz min adam, except for blood, where there's no issue of noser or tomei with that either, as we'll see in the Gemara. Reb Shimon mechayav the davar shadavkin lechol. Reb Shimon says that something that's normally eaten, even if it's something that in this particular case is burnt on the mizbeach, but it's something that if it weren't for that, people would normally eat. For example, the kumes. Then he says that a person is chayev for pigul for that, or not for pigul, for tomei, right? For tomei, he says. But he would say regarding wood that's offered on the mizbeach and lavoina and k'tardas, which are not things that people normally eat, ein chayav and ala mishum tumah. Then he would say for those things, if a person ate them when they were tumah, he would not be chayav k'tardas for. So you have the Tanakhama saying that anything that's offered on the mizbeach, even if it's not subject to pigul, is subject to noiser and tomei. And we'll see in the Gemara later on that means even wood, even lavona, even ptoras, even though they're things that people don't normally eat. Nevertheless, though, you still have an extra limud in the pasuk to say that the concept of tumah applies to them also, except for the dam, because we have a mute for that. Rav Shimon says it depends. It's something that people normally eat or not. We have over here, by the way, in the printed Gemara over here, just says Rav Shimon Machayev. Shitim Kubetis brings a girsa, and Rashi also had this girsa, Numi Rav Shimon. Numi Rav Shimon Bedava Shadak Elayach Machayev. So what does Numi mean? So Rashi mentions an interesting thing that he mentions that Rabbeinu Meshulam Bakloinimus Goin explained shortly before he passed away that Numi means he said. So therefore it means Rav Shimon Numi Meloshon Nu'um, like Nu'um Hashem Elokim. The Numi Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon said that V'dovah Shadak Elach Ochayim, something that's normally eaten, then he'd be Chayim. There's a Tosfos at the end of Menachos that says that the same Rabbeinu Meshulam Bar Koinimus, before he passed away, there were three things that he explained in the Gemara, that he was Magdiya in the Gemara or whatever, as if with Nebuah, as if like with a high level of Ruach Kodesh, and this was one of them.
The two others.
The two others, and Tosfos mentions another one over there, I don't remember. But anyway, that's the other Jews say in our mission. Numi Rav Shimon, that is Chayah for Dabba Shadak Lech. Okay. So the Gemara says, turn it up on. Yochol lo yu chayav mishum tumah el al dava shiyesh la masir din bein al domen ha-mizeach. Now you would think that a person should only be chayav for eating korbanos when he's tomei. Only something that has similar to pigul, in that it has something that's masirit for the person to eat or for the mizbeach or to be burnt on the mizbeach. You would think to equate it to pigul, in other words, just like pigul, we said before, for example, a person is not chayav for eating the koimis if it became pigul, because the koimis itself is the master. You would think the same thing applies to tuma. And in fact, the ginhu, you would think to make a kava koima as follows. Uma pigul shuv kviya, ma doch pigul, where number one, if a person eats pigul, he has to bring a fixed chatas, unlike when a person eats kodshim betuma, where it's a variable chatas, a korban over the yerid. So fixed chatas is much more stringent, because it costs more usually. And ubi diachas, and pigul, a person is chayav if there was just one yedia. You don't have to have, unlike the tumas mikdash v'kodshev, as we learned about in Shavuos, where you have to have, in order for a person to be chayav the korban, there has to be that he knew originally that he was tomei, then he forgot that he was tomei, or he forgot that this is kodshim, and he ate it, and later on he realized. By pigul, you don't need that. You only need one yedia, that he ate it, and later on discovered that it was pigul. And when it comes to pigul, you never have any exception to the rule of pigul. You never have an exception where you're allowed to eat pigul, unlike with tuma, where we have a carbonate sivir, then tuma is set aside. And yet, in chayavin olav el al dava sheyesh lemasir din bein la'adam menon zeach, but we see, on the other hand, that pigul has a kula that, as we said previously, it only applies to the parts of the korbanos which have a masir, so not, again, for example, the koimus, or the levoino, or whatever, which are their own masir, or something like a minchas koinim, which has no masir at all.
So the pigul is the blood, basically.
Yeah, we said, in other words, so we said, right, the blood itself, a person is not chayav koris for eating the blood if the korban became pigul, because the blood itself is a masir. So we see, even though pigul has all these stringencies, it has the leniency that it only applies to something that has a masir, but not, for example, the koimus or the levoina or the blood or what have you. So you would think, tumah shiva olav yerid, the tumah, which is much more eating korbanos when a person is tamei, which is much more lenient in all these senses than pigul, shiva olav yerid, number one, you only bring korban olav yerid for it. So if a person is poor, he doesn't have to bring a sheep, he can bring a goat, he can bring, eat what?
You're not chayav koris.
Well, no, for tumah mitzvah for kodesh, a person is chayav
koris.
That's what we're talking about. But still, if he did it for shogig, unlike a fifth chassas, he's only bringing a korban olav yerid, so it varies depending on how much he can afford. Or b'shtei yedias, tuma, in order for him to be chayav a korban, you have to have, as we learned in Shavuos, that he knew originally that he was tomei, and then he forgot that he was tomei, and then he forgot that this was kodshim, and then he ate it, and then later on he remembered. So again, that's another leniency compared to pigul. And tuma, you have an exception because you have by a korban sivur, and you have a korban sivur that's brought the tuma. And if the korban sivur is the pesach, you even eat it the tuma. So there you have an exception. Whereas pigul, you never have any exceptions for. You would think how much more so then you should only be chayav for if you ate it with tumah, only something that had a matir. So a person should not be chayav if he ate the koimus when he was tameh, or he ate minchas koinim when he was tameh, and so forth. Therefore, in order to prevent that, in order that you shouldn't think to make that kavah koimer, tamad loimah asheh makdishim li. Therefore, the pasuk says, when it talks about the idea of that a person is not allowed to eat kodesh and betruma, it says the expression ashahem makdishim, that they sanctify for me. So it means anything. So it means, well, it means the Jewish people, right? So it means anything that was offered as a kodesh. Now, Yochum Yad, well, if you're going to say that, Asherhim Makdishim, whatever. The point is the fact that it says Asherhim Makdishim is a riboy, so it means any Mukdash. And then the question is, Yochum Yad, fine, but if you're going to say that, then maybe what it means is as soon as the person is Makdishit, if somebody ate the Tumah, he would be tired. So let's say, for example, with a Mincha, as soon as the person designated this flour and oil as a Mincha, it should immediately be, a person should be Chayav Kares, for eating it the tumah, and we know that's not so. It only becomes chayav kares once it goes into a kli shares. The answer is no. Tamar by my yikrav. Therefore, yes, what the pasuk also says is in that connection, it says that asher yikrav mikol zarachem, where the word yikrav, and we're going to say, how is the word yikrav? The word yikrav means he will come close. So how do we learn from that it means only when the korban is actually offered? Omer Rav Elazar, so Rav Elazar says, like, on the face of it, the word yikrav means that he comes close in the sense that he touches. In Torah terminology, the word yikrav usually just means to come close physically. It doesn't necessarily mean to touch. In Lashon Chachamim, very often, the word yikrav actually means to touch. But over here, on the face of it, the pasuk is mentioning that the kohen is yikrav to bring karbonos. What does it mean? It doesn't just mean that he approaches and is about to do it. Obviously, he's not chayav kares. On the face of it, it means that he touches. However, Amar Rav Elazar, chiyash negei ashu chayav. Okay, but you never find that a person touches a korban and it's chayav kares. A person is only chayav kares for eating from a korban and he's tummy, not for touching.
We had a similar discussion
before about Rav Yechon and the Shlokish, right? Okay, Rav Shlokish said over there at least a person can be chayav malchus for touching kodesh when he's tummy. Fine, but kares we for sure don't find. So what does the pasuk mean yikrav? Doesn't mean the person comes close. It means b'puchsha b'osel likrav akosem medaber. Yikrav means when the object is offered, when it's ready to be offered. In other words, when it gets kushas agu. That's when the pasuk is saying that if a person eats from it, when he's tummy, then he's chayav kares. Okay, so what does that mean? Yes, after it's ready to be offered on the mizbeach. So what does that mean? Okay, that yes, lematirin. So if we're talking about a korban that has matirin, for example, a regular typical korban where the blood is matir the emurim for the mizbeach, and then the emurim are matir the blood to be eaten, then then once the matirim are offered, once the blood and the emurim are offered, at that point the chiyuv of eating of the chiyuv kares for eating a petuma kicks in. And the she'en lematirin. What about if it doesn't have matirin? For example, a minchas kareim or all these other things listed in the previous mishnah. No, well, then the answer is mishiyikdash b'kli. As soon as they're placed into a kli shari, at that point, now they're ready to be offered on the mizbeach, because there's nothing else to be done to them. At that point, the chiyuv of kares for eating them b'tuma kicks in. So there you go. So that's where we see what our mission is saying, that even things like the koimis and the minchas koin mashiach and so forth, which a person is not chayav for eating them if they're tigol, but a person would be chayav for eating them if he's tall. We learn that from this limud that we just said. From the fact that it says yikmat. Ashkechom tumah. Okay, so we find therefore, so we see that applies to a person eating him when he's tummy. Noisim and all. And where do we see the same concept? Where do we see the same the concept of noisim that a person is chayav kares for eating him for noisim? Where do we see that? The answer is also chilul mitumah. Okay, we use the gzeira shava chilul that we learn from tumah. Same gzeira shava. We use a different gzeira shava. We use chilul in a previous. Yeah, actually we did. I'm an aleph. Yeah, we did. Okay. The question is, the leila oven with people. Okay, but by the same logic then, we should be able to learn the gzeira shava oven and pigul instead, and say just like pigul doesn't apply to them, because it's not like a shlomim, as we said before, then tumah shouldn't apply to them, then noiser shouldn't apply to them either, because there's oven by pigul and there's oven by noiser. So that, in other words, you have, on the one hand, you can compare noiser to tumah and say therefore that it applies regardless. On the other hand, you could compare noiser to pigul and say therefore that it only applies if yesh le'matirin. Why are you comparing it to tumah and making it more stringent? and saying therefore that it applies to that noiser applies to the koimets and to the minchat koinim and so forth, rather than comparing it to pigle and saying just like pigle doesn't apply to those things, then noiser doesn't apply to those things either.
You could compare it to one or you could compare it to the other.
You have two gzeira shabbos. The answer is mistabra mitumah havle lemela. Okay, but it's more logical to learn noiser from tumah shekain gezel, because tumah has a similarity to noiser in three ways, but for which the abbreviation is the word gezel. The gimel stands for goof. In both of them, the goof is possible. The goof was left over past the time, and it became noiser. The goof of it became tumah, as opposed to pigle, which takes place through machshava. It didn't have anything to do with the group of the garment, right? The zayin stands for zrikas adam. What makes them be possible? In the case of noiser and tuma, it had nothing to do with the zrikas adam. By pigle, what is it that makes it that becomes pigle and now a person is chayav paros only when the blood is sprinkled? Noiser and tuma don't have anything to do with zrikas adam. They can apply whether the dam was sprinkled or not. And the lamed stands for the lamed of the word chil, namely that we have the gzeira shava chil, as opposed to pigle we don't. Tosfos says that actually no. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hanan or from Rabbeinu Chaim that no, the lamed actually stands for that kul loy, that it applies to the whole carbon. The whole carbon becomes pickle, as opposed to the whole carbon doesn't necessarily become noiser, only the piece of it that is left over. The whole carbon doesn't necessarily become tome, only the one piece of it that became tome. Therefore, in those senses, noiser is very similar to tome and much less similar to pickle. Therefore, if we have a choice of zeta shavas, it's more logical to learn noiser from tame, and therefore to say that it applies across the board, rather than to learn it from pigle and apply it only to things that have a matter.
Gezel is
again goof,
goof,
zrika, and according to Rashi, chilul, and according to Tosfos, kuloy. So it has those three similarities. Okay, the question is, Adram, and pigle have a letter made up. Finally, you could argue the other way around. On the other hand, you could learn noiser from pigle. Chicane, because pigle has the following things in common with noiser. First of all, it has the following things in common. Noiser, first of all, both of them involve things being left over. The noiser is the meat was actually left over. Pigle is that he had in mind to leave it over and do an Adam Machshava to do it the next day. Neither noiser or pigle are made acceptable through the sith, unlike tumah, which is made acceptable through the sith. Now, actually, Rashi says tumah is a goof. If the kohen grew up the carbon when he was tumah, when he himself was tumah, the sith is not manasseh for that. The sith is manasseh for tumah's boser, not tumah's a goof. However, at least the concept of tumah is taken care of by the sith, whether the concept of noiser or the concept of pigle are not. So, in that sense, noiser and pigle are more similar. Tahar, both of them are tahar. They're possible for other reasons, as opposed to tameh is tameh. Bizman, both of them involve time. Tumah has nothing to do with time. Noiser and pigle both do. Korev, both of them have to do with the object that's being brought to the korban, as opposed to tumah sagur, which is a psul in the korban, not something that happened in the korban. And you're going to argue that, well, you're going to argue, yeah, but what about the similarities of gezel, the hani nefishon? You have more similarities between noiser and pigle than you have between noiser and tumah. And usually when we have to do a tiebreaker like that, we usually go from whichever one has the most similarities. Yeah. No, so we can't say it's because of that. Right. So the answer is element of Tony Levi. No, we learn it on the basis of what Levi taught on a bright. The Tony Levi, minayin sh'ach the psul mana kosim adaber, how do we know that the pasuk of the Yinazri of the Kotshe b'nei Yisrael is referring not only to tumah, but also to noiser, psul man, where it became possible because it was left after the time. Tamad lema, v'lo yichalu as Kotshe b'nei Yisrael, v'lo yichalu as shem Kotshe, ashem makishim li, meaning the word v'lo yichalu means v'shnei chilulin, v'shnei chilulin akosim adaber. It means the pasuk is talking about two chilulin. Because the Rashi explains that it's because the pasuk could have said the yinozru v'lo yichalu. It did not have to say the yinozru mikodshe v'nei yisro v'lo yichalu. So that teaches us that we're talking about two different kinds of chilul. They have other explanations also, including that it could have said v'lo yachelu, and it says v'lo yachalu. Anyway, the point is, it's talking about two chilulim, echab still noiser, echab still tumah. One is talking about where it became possible because of noiser, which is elsewhere described as chilul, ki es kodesh Hashem chilul, and also tumah, that we're talking about in context over here. So therefore, we see that whatever noiser applies, whatever tumah applies to, noiser applies to. Since tumah applies across the board, like we said before, shahim makdishim li, and yikrav, therefore, it means that this, that noiser also applies to all of them.
And the shtechilulim?
The shtechilulim, the true chilulim, are noiser and tumah. So therefore, the pasuk is, in other words, making a hekesh between them, that whatever applies to tumah applies to noiser. Since tumah sagur applies to all kodshim, as we said before, then therefore noiser also applies to all kodshim, whether they have a master or whether they don't. So that's where we're coming from, not because of the similarities between noiser and tumah versus noiser and pigul, but because we actually have the pasuk itself as implying that noiser and pigul are on the same, that noiser and tumah rather are on the same level.
And again, the pasuk is...
The pasuk is v'lo yichalalu eshem kodshi eshem makdishim. So the word v'lo yichalalu, again, the fact that it says v'yinozru mikodshe b'nei yisro v'lo yichalalu, rather than just v'yinozru v'lo yichalalu, or the fact that it says yichalalu with two lamed rather than yachelu, means that we're talking about two chilulim. We're talking about the one that's explicitly talked about in the system over there, Torah, as well as another one which is elsewhere called chilul in the Torah, namely Noser.
Otherwise,
we
would have said the chal.
Otherwise, it would have said either it would have said the nozir v'lo yichalu, or it would have said v'lo yachelu.